disciples of Christ. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8:31-32. Our Lord's preaching always produced two opposite effects upon the promiscuous multitudes that heard him. It attracted one class and repelled another. Those who were full of pride and conceit, and who preferred darkness to light, because their deeds were evil, and because they realized that if they admitted the light of truth they must of necessity conform their characters to it, all such were repelled by the teachings of Christ. And if the Lord had undertaken the work of the ministry according to the methods pursued today, depending for support on the goodwill and contributions of the people, that support would often have been very meager, or, at least, very fluctuating. On some occasions multitudes received his testimony, and later deserted him, and walked no more with him, as he continued to enforce the lessons of divine truth. Luke 4:14-15, 22, 28, 29. Sometimes the multitudes hung upon his words, wondering at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth, and again they forsook him, while only a mere handful remained. John 6:60-66-69. What consternation would follow in the various churches of today, if the professed ministers of the gospel should follow the Master's example, in similarly declaring the whole counsel of God. How quickly they would become unpopular, and be charged with breaking up the church. Why, the great congregations that now throng the temples of fashion dedicated to the service of God, and the teachings of Christ would not stand it. They go there to be entertained with pleasing and eloquent discourses from titled gentlemen, who, presumably, know their tastes and ideas, and who will preach to please them. They are quite willing to pay their money for what they want, but they do not want the truth. Those who followed the Lord only for a little season, and then forsook him, of course, ceased then to be his disciples, and were no longer so recognized, nor did they presume longer to claim to be his disciples. A disciple is a pupil, a learner, and when any man ceases to be a student and pupil of Christ, the great teacher, he is no longer a disciple of Christ. This was very manifest when the Lord was present, and when his name was one of reproach among men, but later, when his presence was withdrawn, and when his doctrines were unscrupulously mixed with human philosophies to such an extent as to divest them of their reproach, and to make them really void, then men began to claim to be his disciples long after they had utterly repudiated his doctrines. The Lord's expression, disciples indeed, implies a distinction between real and merely nominal disciples. And since we desire to continue to be his real, sincere disciples, let us mark the express condition, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. The hypocrisy of merely nominal discipleship is an abomination to the Lord. It is a blessed thing to take the first step in the Christian life, that of belief in and acceptance of Christ as our Redeemer and Lord, but the reward of this step depends entirely upon our continuance in his word, in the attitude of true disciples. It is not difficult to do this, yet the disposition of human pride is to wander away from the simplicity of divine truth, and to seek out new theories and philosophies of our own, or to pry into those of other men, who desire to be considered wise and great according to this world's estimate. The reward of continued discipleship is, ye shall know the truth, not that we shall be ever seeking, and never coming to a knowledge of the truth. 2 Timothy 3:7. Here is the mistake that many make. Failing to continue in the word of the Lord, they delve into various human philosophies which ignore or pervert the word of the Lord and set up opposing theories. There is no promise to those who seek for truth among these that they shall ever find it. And they never do. Divine truth is never found except in the divinely appointed channels, and those channels are the Lord and the apostles and prophets. To continue in the doctrine set forth in their inspired writings, to study and meditate upon them, to trust implicitly in them, and faithfully to conform our characters to them, is what is implied in continuing in the word of the Lord. But the idea is entirely compatible with that of heeding all the helps which the Lord from time to time raises up from among our brethren in the body of Christ, as enumerated by the Apostle Paul. Ephesians 4:11-15, 1 Corinthians 12:13-14. The Lord always has raised up, and will to the end raise up, such helps for the edification of the body of Christ, but it is the duty of every member to prove carefully their teaching by the infallible word. If we thus continue in the word of the Lord, as earnest and sincere disciples, we shall indeed know the truth, be established in the present truth, the truth too, and be rooted and grounded in the truth. We shall be firm in the faith, and able to give a reason for the hope that is in us, to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints, to war a good warfare, to witness a good confession, and firmly to endure hardship, as good soldiers of Jesus Christ, even unto the end of our course. We will not come into the knowledge of the truth at a single bound, but gradually, step by step, we will be led into the truth. Every step will be one of sure and certain progress, and each one leading to a higher vantage ground for further attainments both in knowledge and in its blessed fruits of established character. The truth thus acquired, step by step, becomes a sanctifying power bringing forth in our lives its blessed fruits of righteousness, peace, joy, in the Holy Spirit, love, meekness, faith, patience, and every virtue, and every grace, which time and cultivation will ripen to a glorious maturity. And not only shall the true disciple thus know the truth and be sanctified by it, but the Lord also said, "The truth shall make you free." Those who have received the truth know by blessed experience something of its liberating power. As soon as any measure of it is received into a good and honest heart, it begins to strike off the fetters of sin, of ignorance and superstition, and of fear. It throws its health-restoring beams into the darkest recesses of our hearts and minds, and thus invigorates the whole being. Sin cannot endure its light, and those who continue to live in sin, when a sufficiency of light has been received to manifest its deformity, must inevitably lose the light, because they are unworthy of it. Ignorance and superstition must vanish before the light of truth. And what a blessed realization it is to be thus liberated! Millions are still under this galling yoke. Under its delusions they fear and reverence some of the basest tools of Satan for their oppression and degradation, because they hypocritically claim divine appointment, and they have been made to fear God as a vengeful tyrant consigning the vast majority of his creatures to an eternity of torment. Thank God, we who have received the truth have escaped that terrible nightmare, and the bondage of Satan over us is broken. We are made free, too, from the fear that we now see coming upon the whole world, as the great civil and ecclesiastical systems that have so long ruled the world are being terribly shaken. All thinking people are in dread of the possible outcome of anarchy and terror, and the alarm of all will increase as we near the awful crisis toward which we are rapidly hastening, and as the danger becomes more and more visible. Yet, in the midst of it all, and with the fullest assurance of the infallible Word of God, of the terrors of the conflict through which the world will have to pass within a few years, the true disciples of Christ who abide in His Word are not afraid, but rejoice, because they know that God's object in permitting the storm is to clear the moral atmosphere of the world, and that, after the storm, there shall come, by His providence, an abiding peace. Instructed in the truth, they realize the necessities of the situation, and have confidence in the divine providence that can make even the wrath of men to praise Him. Blessed promise, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Dearly beloved, having received this favor from the Lord, shall we not continue in it, giving no heed to seducing doctrines? And shall we not be faithful to it under all circumstances, defending it against every assault, and with it bearing its reproach? Let us prove our appreciation of it by our loyalty and faithfulness to it. 1. R. 3153, Z. 1903, page 61, page 1.